Life Audio.
The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
You're listening to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl, a show designed to help you be the compassionate, gospel-centered, and influential voice in your girl's life. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle. April is Autism Awareness Month. Joining us again is Sherry McVie. And today we're going to continue our conversation on autism with Sherry and her family's experience in church. And then we're also going to talk about how we can encourage our brothers and sisters in the autistic community and their families. Listen in. You know, you and I had a conversation about the church and how you didn't feel like we're not of the same denomination. However, you did not feel that you were supported by your church community or your church leadership. And I kind of wanted to touch on that because I've heard that before a few times, actually, about the church. And so I wanted to touch on what would you like to see the church do to support people in the autistic community?
Well, so in our experience, we are of the Catholic faith. And so I guess not going to a lot of other churches. I did grow up Methodist. So I know as a Methodist, we didn't have a lot of scents and smells in the church. Like you lit candles, but you didn't do, you know, all of the different herbs and all of the different smoking incense. Things like, yeah, incense. Thank you. I didn't think of the word incense. So in the Catholic Church, especially on like special holidays and stuff, You do a lot of that. And so that was one of the things where it was a very big sensory overload for him. He hates smells. He doesn't love smells. And so that just was a big turnoff on him for holidays. And so we would want to be all dressed up cute for holidays and go in as a family because it's Christmas. And you knew they were going to use a ton of incense and it just would set him off. And so we spent, and it actually seemed like, so when he was littler, he was able to kind of ignore more of that. He was very active and very busy. And of course, we felt like we got the evil eye a lot because he was not in the pew. He would sometimes be laying underneath the kneeler and sometimes underneath the pew and sometimes on the pew. And then he'd, of course, have his trains with him. We'd let him bring two, one for each hand. But then those trains might crash a couple of times. And so you were trying to be a part of the church service and you were trying to have your family there. And we, you know, continued to do that, insisting he was in the inside the church with us until he was about nine. By nine, things that, you know, 3 and 4 year olds would do, you didn't really get the evil eye for that. Oh, look at them. They're 3 and they're 4. They're playing with their little trains. And yes, it's a little bit noisy, but they're adorable. By 8 or 9, they're looking at you like, that's not normal. Why is that kid doing that? Why is that kid going, ah, I hate that smell. I can't freak out. And so being inside the church was just more overwhelming than was what was necessary. It was a fight every Sunday to get him there. It was a fight at the end of every church because I was just horrified that everybody was staring at us. It was a fight with my husband of, no, if we just continue to make him sit there, he's going to do this. He's going to learn it. And I was just like, it's not worth that anymore. So from 9 until about 14, 15, we would choose which one of us didn't sit with the rest of the family. And we would sit with him in the narthex. And so that is just for people who aren't Catholic. That's the part where it's basically your entryway. You walk in the doors and there's kind of a big open area, at least in our church. There were chairs out there. That might be where you signed up for script, which was like, you know, our script was gift cards that you could buy from businesses that a percentage went back to the church. So things were going on out there. But once church started, there may be one person sitting at the script table and then us sitting in these chairs. And then the priest office was usually there. Now, usually, obviously, one priest was giving the sermon, the homily, and then there might be one in the office. So it was much quieter. We just chose to do that. We were just like, this is how we're going to have to adapt it. It's not worth trying to get him in there. We still want him to be a part of it. And so that lasted until 14 or 15. He's 18 now. We do not go to church anymore. It just got to the point where it was overwhelming. And so something the church, I guess, could do to help with that is I realized that they're not going to change the entire church service, and we're not asking them to. Mm-hmm. We're just asking that when we are sitting out there as not a part of the congregation, but the rest of our family is, that we had one priest that, so there's a lot of the younger priests. There's usually a main priest, and then there's assistant priest, and then there's usually an intern priest. Mm-hmm. We had one year where, and usually the interns are there like a year and then they get sent to a different church. He was amazing. He came out and said a prayer with him every Sunday. Mm-hmm. He came out and made him feel a part of the church and feel a part that it's okay that you're sitting out here and that you can't handle inside, but I'm going to still acknowledge you. Our head priest, and you know what, as people said, to be fair, they're not trained in all different things. They're trained to, you know, be priests and preach the gospel. But he just made it, he acted like he didn't know who we were every single time, like we were strangers. And we've been going since he was 6 months old. We had belonged to a different parish before that. And then we moved and this was our new parish. And so from 6 months until 15 years old, he had been there every Sunday. He had done Sunday school. I had taught Sunday school. Our kids did CCD since they went to public schools. My husband helped with CCD every single week. He did the parking. So it wasn't like we just were showing up once a month or only on holidays. We were there every single week. And they just didn't acknowledge that he was a part of the church or try to see how they could adapt and accommodate it for him. So the kind of final straw was he had went through First Communion when he was 8. And the CCD directors at that time, I knew them and they were accommodating. Instead of having him sit all by himself, I sat in the row right behind him so I could be tapping on him. Hey, it's okay. You know, be in the whisper in his ear. Mm-hmm. By the time it was time for confirmation, that was when he was 5th grade in the Lincoln Parish. I asked if I knew that there was going to be like, they do Catholic school and public school combined, whereas First Communion, they split it in half because there were so many kids. But this is all when it's on like a weeknight, the bishop comes. There's a lot of incense, a lot. It's usually at the end of April, beginning of May. It's pretty warm in the church. So I just knew it wasn't going to be something that we were going to be able to get him through. And so I had said to the priest, hey, you know, what if we were able to, you know, I'll teach him all the stuff, you know, instead of sending him to CCD, I'll teach him all the things at home, which is what I had been doing pretty much up to that point anyway. They would give me the books and I would do it. And we would just make sure I was like, I'll have him completely ready for confirmation. But instead of doing it in the whole big church, is there any way just you could bless him in your office? And he said, well, no, that's not possible. The bishop has to be there. And I said, well, no, we understand that that's how it usually is, but could we like modify it at all? Whereas we understand he won't get a blessing from the bishop. We understand his things won't get blessed. We understand it would just be a private ceremony where you just say the rites and bless him in your office. And he said, no, we don't do that. He'll either need to come into church and do it with everybody or he doesn't get to do it at all. And so I was like, oh, okay. So I told my husband and he was like, oh, okay, well, it's not worth it. We're not putting him through a full school year. It takes an entire school year to get to that point. There's lots of things involved with the confirmation. Mm-hmm. And so we chose to not do it. And then, you know, we continued to, you know, go. And the kind of the final breaking point for both my husband and I was he was 15. We didn't have him confirmed. Our younger daughter had been confirmed. We had done all of that. And we had a student who was a year older than our oldest son. And then the younger brothers, they were part of the Campbell community. The younger brothers were both Kieran and Emerson's ages. We had known their family since, you know, our kids were very, very young, been all through school, and their oldest committed suicide. And we were at the funeral mass and we were thanking the priest for giving such a lovely homily and a lovely service for him. Thank you for being supportive to the family. And he just stared at us. And my husband and I just kind of stared at him and we were like, oh, you know, we're just, you know, because being members of the parish. And he's like, oh. And so then we had to introduce ourselves to mm-hmm. the man who we had been going there for, at this point, 15 years, to the man I'd had private meetings with and stuff, that we were members of his parish and we had still continued to go weekly. So it was just one of those things where lots of different things happened that could have been different. And so my biggest wish is some education for not necessarily just even the priest, but for parishioners and for church members, of that there's all different kids and that there's going to be your obvious ones that when you see them, that you know they have a disability mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, they have a disability, and they're completely accepting of it. But there's other ones out there that sometimes you have what is a blind disability that mm-hmm. right away when you first meet that person, you don't notice that it's a disability and they don't understand, and they have a different expectation for somebody who's 6'2", 230 pounds, but yet really emotionally and socially is 10, you know, because they don't come across as 10 at first. They come off as intelligent, older, but they're not, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have all those skills that are in there. So I just would, you know, would hope that there could be people that go in and they could give talks, you know, even if it was a parent that could say, hey, my child goes to your church, and you may have seen them in the church, and they look like they're completely a high functioning, neurotypical 15-year-old, but they're not neurotypical. Here are the things that you may see. And I know that none of you probably mean it, but here is how I feel. Mm-hmm. Here's how other families in the same instances feel. We feel judged. We feel not accepted. We don't feel like that we're a part of the community. And these are the reasons why. Mm-hmm. And here are ways that you can just make it better. You know, just acknowledge, huh, you know, the one priest who spent that year with us, he said, why are you sitting out here? Do you like sitting out here? It's really cold. And I'm like, no, we really don't. But here's why. And he was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to come out weekly then, and I will see you. And it was wonderful. Mm. Felt accepted and loved. But not all of them are like that. And so I think that would be my biggest wish for the church, is for, we had the saying at school, all means all. Mm. And that all children were going to get all the educational services that we had to offer. Mm-hmm. Without having to be asked or prompted. I would hope that the Christian community could also approach that and take that as all means all. Mm. All means that everybody's going to be accepted, and we're going to give you the same religious considerations as everybody else.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country, dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Well, Sherry, I want to thank you for joining me in this conversation today. I think it'll be helpful for many people. I'm praying that it is. But I have one more. I'd like, if you could, leave us with, what do you have any encouraging words for parents who may be in your situation or a similar situation, or a parent who has a child on the spectrum and is kind of struggling or dealing with it?
I think my biggest thing would be is the biggest thing that somebody told me is I'm a runner. I did a lot of running growing up. And they told me, they said, Sherry, think of it like this. It's a marathon and it's not a sprint. You are not going to just be like, phew, we found the answers and it's done. It's ongoing. It's an ongoing process. Mm. But the things that we have learned from the process have way outweighed the things that we wish would go away. There's always going to be things that you're like, oh, man, that is the worst. We hope to never have to do that again. Mm-hmm. But the things that we have learned have made us better people. So in your journey, you're going to have much more empathy. You're going to be able to be less judgmental. You're going to be able to see when another mom is struggling or another dad is struggling. And you're going to be like, oh, I wish I could help them. Or I could even just give them that little whisper as you walk past them. I've been there. It's okay. You're going to get through this. Mm. You know, those little pieces. And so it's definitely changed how we've looked at the world. Mm. And so those roughest days are going to be rough. I'm not going to lie. There's going to be some rough days, but then there's going to be those amazing days that you would never want somebody to take away from you because they're just something amazing that happened that you're like, oh, that was so awesome. You know, and something that you might not necessarily like, you're celebrating like them understanding something for the first time. So my son, oh my gosh, this mask thing through the pandemic has been an ongoing thing, right? It's like, I don't want to wear it. I understand why I have to wear it, but I don't want to wear it. But yet he's truly not understood why you want to wear it. But just last semester, it was December. So, you know, we've been wearing him at this point for over a year. He comes out of the school and he says to me, oh, wow, Mom, sorry, I'm kind of running late. I had to go to the bathroom and the one was getting cleaned and another one was getting this and another one, this was happening. And meanwhile, I was getting hot and my mask was on, but I just was like, whew, I can't take it off. I've got to go to the bathroom. But did you know that if I take it off, I could be infecting somebody if I had symptoms and I didn't know it. I just really needed to protect people. And I was like, wow, this is something he's finally understanding. Mm. And he took it to heart and he was doing it. And so it just felt like, yay, he's getting it. He's understanding. So it's those little things, you know, that you're going to just really understand. And sometimes people will say, oh, my child has autism. They don't understand those feelings or they don't get that. They can get those feelings. And sometimes out of all four of our children, he has the most empathy for things, not necessarily things he doesn't understand, but for things he does. He, out of all of our children, will say, Mom, are you doing okay? Because it looks like you could use a hug. Or, Mom, did that make you sad? Because it felt like that made you sad. So those are the things that you're just going to love about your kiddo, because they do have all those feelings and emotions. They just don't know always how to express them. And so those are the things that we're like, we've learned a lot from him. And it's going to get better. It's going to keep going. And ask for those around you that know how to help you for help.
Wow, that's beauty in the brokenness.
Yeah.
Love it.
I hope this episode provided insight into how you can help and encourage our brothers and sisters with autism and their families. Thanks for listening.
Remember, God is for you and you're not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com. or wherever you get your podcast.